Hello and welcome to Sneaker Report, your weekly roundup of all the latest sneaker news and all other photographic announcements that we found interesting. It's Konstantin here.
And this is Becky.
Another week, another announcement. Today, Nikon announced two lenses. First one up is a Nikon Z180 to 600mm f5.6 to 6.3 VR lens. So that's a replacement of 200 to 500 f-mount version.
Officially, it is indeed. This is a lens that a lot of people have been waiting for. And although originally on the roadmap it was stated as a 200 to 600, we're delighted to see that Nikon have made it slightly wider angle. So we get a little bit more bang for our buck here. And we've got a 180 to 600 with a really reasonable aperture of 5.6 to 6.3, I would say.
Absolutely. It's priced reasonably well, and also it takes teleconverters. So both teleconverters, 1.4 and 2 times, will work with it. So if you want to take it to 1200 or even 1800 on DX crop sensor, feel free to do so.
Exactly. Now, a few key things to bear in mind with the 180 to 600. The weight is the biggest factor that a lot of people will ask about. This is 2.1 kilos or 2,140 grams to be precise. So not a small lens, but still lighter than the 200 to 500.
Yes, you can also remove the tripod foot if you want to. If you happy to shoot it handheld, then it's going to be even lighter. I think it's just under 2 kilos.
Also, it has some interesting additions, like we have sport mode VR now, which we used to have on our F-mount lenses, but then were removed for Z lenses, and we now have it back with the 180 to 600. We have very powerful 5.5-stop VR.
So it's weatherproof to a degree, and for some of you who really indulge into elements and groups, it's got 25 elements, 17 groups, 60D elements in there, one spherical element, and a fluorine-coated front lens element as well. So the cleaning the front element should be easy peasy.
It does have a very short zoom throw, which is fantastic, and also has an internal focusing system, so that should prevent any extra dust, dirt, etc. getting inside.
Speaking of the front element, it's a 95mm size, so if you are upgrading from 200 to 500 lens, the diameter is the same, so you can actually transfer the filters that you have on that lens to a new lens.
And it also has 9 rounded diaphragm blades, so nice rounded bokeh.
Wawaweya.
The lens will be available towards the end of July, and the price is here. Now, next up, we have the 70-180 f2.8 lens, which completes our, I would say, consumer line of 2.8 lenses. So along with the 17-28 and 28-75, we now have the 70-180 2.8. This lens weighs just 795 grams and has a consistent 67 mil diameter on the front, like all of those lenses, which is fantastic.
And to address the elephant in the room, yes, it does look like a Tamron design, specifically designed for Nikon mounts, but also it does take teleconverters, which is really nice.
Yes.
It also increases the magnification ratio to almost 1:1. I think it's 0.95.
It is.
To be precise. So for micro photographers of you, it could be an interesting solution. So for some of you looking to upgrade from 70 to 180mm f-mount lens, that one gave 1:2 reproduction ratio, while this one is 0.95.
Yeah, which is pretty, pretty good. Now, it is weather resistant. We do also have, because of the size of it, a zoom lock so that the lens doesn't creep out while you're walking around with it on your shoulder. It will be available from around the 13th of July, and the price is here.
Now, the price of the Nikon Z70-200 lens that's been available for some time is currently in the UK is $2,279. So it is a nice budget option to complete a budget trinity. Now, we're going to have a full discussion of this lens as well as the aftermath commentary in the Nikon podcast, which will be out in a few hours. So do tune in for that. But in the meantime, we will see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Hello again, if you joined us for the Nikon Report that we published 2 hours later, or you're watching the same video, well, good for you. Okay, Becky, so Nikon's been on the roll. Yeah, we had Nikon Z8, we had 24DX lens, we had Z9 film web that which we were going to discuss later on, and now these two lenses. I mean, it's incredible time, not just to be alive, but also being a Nikon user at the same time. So what do you think about those lenses? Who are those lenses for? Why they have to exist in Nikon Z lineup? Tell me everything I want to know.
Okay, well, we know that the 180 to 600, or as it was originally slated, the 200 to 600, was massively in demand by a lot of consumers and semi-professionals and essentially anyone who wanted to go above 200 mil.
Without spending tens of thousands. thousands of dollars.
Exactly. And the 200 to 500 was one of those lenses that Nikon brought out that people didn't know they absolutely could not live without until it came. Right. So the 180 to 600 fills that gap. And I'm very, very excited to see it finally in the lineup. I think that it will complete a lot of people's kind of camera kit bags now because mm-hmm. they'll have everything they need, particularly if you're someone who doesn't want to spend, you know, the cost of a car on a lens.
Yeah. And I can imagine that people's backpacks, that's one third of a backpack, is just an empty space for a Chungus lens. Yes. So finally, this space will be filled by this lens.
Finally. Now, the 70 to 180 is an interesting one because we've known that it's coming for a little while as well, not as long as the 200 to 600 or 180 to 600 as it is now, but we had been expecting it for a while, considering that the 17 to 28 and the 28 to 75, a bit like the 70 to 180, were sort of surprise lenses. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that we have that for folks who maybe don't want to spend 2,200-ish pounds on a 70 to 200. I know for my sake, for example, I was waiting for a budget 70 to something mm-hmm. because that has been lacking in the Nikon lineup, and the only offering in Native Z was the 70 to 300 Tamron.
Yeah.
So I think that this is a great lens to have. The fact that it takes teleconverters excites me the most because that makes it truly versatile.
And the magnification for some of you who actually take macro photographs.
What I will be interested to see, because Nikon obviously had the 70 to 180 F-mount out long time ago, long since discontinued, natively 1:2 reproduction ratio on that lens. You needed a special close-up filter, which literally like hen's teeth now. So the 70 to 180 F-mount has never been replaced out properly by Nikon. I'm interested to do a comparison between those two mm-hmm. when we've actually got our hands on the 70-28.
I bet the autofocus is going to be much better on the Native Z mount lens.
Well, because the autofocus doesn't exist on the exactly. F mount lens.
Yeah, but it's interesting because both lenses have been announced at the same time. Obviously, 70 to 180 was squeezed with that announcement. And the reason I think for that was that when they announced 28-75 as well as 70-28, people had criticism, and that's based on the thought that it's a design by a Tamron and adapted for Nikon. Well, there's a lot of indication that Nikon is using their own casing as well as weatherproofing, as well as their autofocus and Nikon's glass in those lenses as well. It's a Tamron's lens design. Mm. So overall, as a lot of people pointed out, yes, officially there are lenses similar to Nikon one available for other mounts. This one is slightly different, so it's not exactly 100% a rebadged Tamron lens. Now, coming back to 180-600, I think, as you mentioned, it is probably was the most wanted lens for the time being. And I think filling that gap with their release, I think it will make a lot of people happy. And obviously, we're going to get the autofocus. And if you've got the latest and greatest cameras with a Gen 3 autofocus system, you will definitely reap the benefits of it. And if you are on the cameras like Z6 and Z7, Gen 2 or Gen 1 cameras, you'll get a regular autofocus that you'll normally get with your cameras. So having a budget option, while it's still under £2,000, it's kind of funny to call those things budget. But if you look at the tens of thousands of pounds you can spend on the wildlife gear, this is definitely more on the budget side. Now, talking about price of 70 to 180, as I mentioned before, the current price, not on promotion, of a Nikon Z70 200 2.8 has been available for some time is 2279. So having this lens, much lower price, is actually very interesting to have. So you now have two options where you get the new equipment at a cheaper price. So you don't need to look for secondhand.
That's right.
You don't need to look at some third-party options to get that. And also, that tells me that we probably won't see 70-200 F4 in the future.
I'm with you on that one. I don't think we will. Now, a few lucky people have had hands on these two lenses for a short window of time. So obviously, Rishi, because of course.
Yeah, have a look at his video that he published that we don't know it exists, but we know it's going to be there on day one.
Of course, it's going to be there. We'll also have Matt.
Yes.
Matt Irwin, our friend of the channel. And last up, we had the fortune to speak to Seth Miranda from Adorama, who had actually put hands on the lenses for a short, tiny little segment of time. And
the good news is we have this conversation recorded right after the ad break. Wednesday live from New York City is Seth Miranda with his opinion on the new announcements. How are you, Seth?
I'm doing all right. You're just going to throw it into me. Just give your opinion as a loud New Yorker. Great. Thanks, man.
Exactly. So you've managed to have both lenses for, I think, a short window of time. Did you have them for an afternoon or like a couple of hours?
I had them for as soon as the sun came up on a dead beach on an overly hot day for an hour and a half or so. So I was struggling to find something to shoot. So if you guys have watched my video, I just tried to give you guys instances of like showing you the properties of the lens. So don't bang me up my shots, please. Just lay off me. But I will say it's a really nice addition, right? So we're talking about the 180 to 600 millimeter f 5.6-6.3, which is like a long awaited lens, right? All these birders, all these guys that have been wanting lower cost long range lenses because they don't have, I don't know, $14,000, $17,000 for the 2.8 or the f4, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's finally what they want. But what's the three things about this lens that I think is notable is one, it's coming in lighter than what else is out there for other systems. It's coming out right out of the gate lower cost than what other systems are putting out there. And it also has a wider on the short end, which is nice. So you can always put teleconverters on to make a lens longer. You can't really make them wider on the fly. So they give you this much flexibility. And I got to say, I was shocked with how light it was. I was expecting to have like an annoying day with a big lens, and I'm not a big lens guy. But I was like, this is really, really light and actually super balanced on the Z9. I didn't get to try it on a Z8 because there was none in hand. And then the 70 to 180 2.8 is a nice trinity lens for what I call the budget trinity, the 2.8, like
the 17-28, 28-75, and now a 70 to 180. So we kind of completed that trio, I think.
And it's just easy for someone to get into a Nikon system, get a 2.8 trinity, which is also lightweight. That 70 to 180, it was like air. I was like, is this even a lens in my hand? But you know, it's also, it doesn't feel like that trinity lens. It's not going to, right? But yeah, you aren't paying that kind of money. So I think that lens has its place. And then if you do get that budget trinity, you also have this like nice cost effective 180 to 600 to pick up the rest of the focal length if you get into that type of system.
Sure.
And if you choose to upgrade or rent other higher end lenses on the fly, you can. Not that the 180 to 600 doesn't feel high end. It is a nice feeling lens. The best feature on it to me is that the zoom ring is super short throw. So you're just like tapping this thing to get really fast zoom in, zoom out, which is what all those bird guys want, right? All the bird guys that complain the most that this whole industry will come down to their knees for, the bird guys, they can get a nice performing lens that's lightweight and a little easier on the wallet. So I think they did a good job on putting out some lenses that we've been wanting, the 85 1.2 for guys like me, the long range zooms, the lower cost trinity. I mean, the only thing I'm waiting for, which I think Bex would agree, I want a stubby high-end 2.8 wide angle. That's all
that's
I want.
That's what
is
we
a
want.
Prime.
I want something that's not massive, that's small, that can just go on the camera for your sort of everyday street interior architecture stuff. Yeah.
Is that 35 1.2?
No, it's wider. We're talking like 14 mil here.
14.
That's what we want.
I want that 14-28 legendary lens I have to be on Z mount.
Yeah.
I bought the 14 to 24 2.8 recently just to hold me over till I can hopefully get some kind of stubby little banger that goes in my bag and I forget about and I can just shoot wide when I want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice. Now, obviously, Nikon been on the roll lately with the Nikon Z8 announcements. Then we had the Z9 firmware update. Now we have the lenses and the little 24DX lens, mm-hmm. which I forgot to mention. Oh. So, like, we've literally seen announcement after announcement. I mean, it's a great time to be Nikon user. So what are your thoughts? Are we going to continue to see the releases, or are we going to have a little pause now and we're going to wait for some other set of announcements later on, maybe in autumn?
I don't think they're going to slow down. I think they've been waiting for this R&D cycle. I think they've been waiting to just push it out. They've said in the beginning of the year, if not the end of last year, they have a lot of glass to get out the door. And knowing Nikon, as I've talked to engineers, as I've talked to the people behind those doors, they like to do these sneak attack releases that no one sees, or they think no one's even going to really like have a big thing about, but then they end up having these like fan favorites. So I wouldn't be surprised if we have some stuff that's not on the roadmap coming out. Not that I know anything. I do not know anything for real, but I would say I wouldn't be surprised. I do think we're due for at least a body by the end of the year. I don't know what, but I do think that there's a body coming. But firmware is just crushing, man. I know the Gen 2 people, and I'm one of those people, has Z6 2s, are waiting for a firmware update of some kind. I don't know if that's ever going to come, but the Z9, knowing as a pro that I've invested so much into this system, all the glass, the bodies, I'm all in. It's a real nice peace of mind. And my camera keeps on showing more and more value. I don't want to go on a rant, but like, you have a camera that doesn't need a grip, doesn't need an external recorder for full video features, that now doesn't need Pocket Wizards to be a remote camera. You don't have to fight for frequencies. If you're someone that shoots press and you have something up in a rafter, like you're shooting a boxing event or whatever, you don't have to fight for a frequency on Pocket Wizard or spend like $500 to $1,000 on Pocket Wizards just to get a remote camera to work how you want it to work. Like, this is awesome. This thing is constantly, I don't want to say it's paying for itself, but you get what I mean? Like, there's just
constant reward.
Yeah. And it just shows you where a brand's philosophy of supporting the user, and hopefully Gen 2 does get an update. But if that doesn't happen, think of Gen 3 getting this support, because it'll have the newer technology that's able to handle the support. I think people have to realize that Gen 2 still is on the old processors. Even if there's two of them, they weren't made during the mirrorless era. They weren't designed during the mirrorless era. They weren't thought of to exploit to a level of like what they're doing with the Z9, which is on firmware 4.0. There's flagships that are still on 1.5. Like, are you kidding? Like, it's so wild. And auto capture, I don't know if you guys have tried it, but it's wild. Like, it's just something you didn't think you wanted till you try it. And you're like, I'm going to use this for a bunch of things.
Con's in the unconvinced on auto capture camp, but I think that once he's had a chance, he's like, why would I use this?
I'll tell you.
Yeah, go for it.
I'll tell you. So I asked Nikon for AFF instills. I want full-time autofocus instills. And they basically were like, instead of that, how about we just let it take the photo too? Like, there's times where I have to self-film and self-shoot something for the channels I'm working on. And I have to focus, like it's a DSLR from a million years ago, of just focusing on a point, then going right to that point to be in. No, I just walk in there. As soon as I turn my head, fire, 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 fire. Or if you don't have to wait for certain wildlife, leave a camera there to a spot you think something's going to happen, like a deer drinking out of a brook. I don't know what happens in the wild. I'm from concrete. So, but you can go shoot somewhere else while that camera's working over there, right? Like, I know that we're taking away some of the art form and we're not shooting, but you're also composing that frame. You're picking the focus point. You're telling the camera as customizable as you can to make it your shot. It's just kind of getting you there without having to burn your time or being in two places at once. I think for press, this is going to be a big deal. I think that when you have a remote camera at the finish line and you can shoot the rest of the race, or you have a press camera high up shooting that podium where the two fighters are going to be talking and let them shoot when it sees a face, you can be down on the floor getting the crowd. Now you're getting twice the amount of content for a client. You're not having to worry about hiring a second shooter you're not sure of because you don't know how good they are. Like, it's wedding people. Are you kidding me? You got a remote. I'm not even like.
So many use cases.
Too many pictures to go through after.
I just love that they're really thinking of what can they do with this technology. It can recognize this. Now what can we do? There's things I want things to change. I have a wish list for the Z9. Trust me. My number one thing is I want drop shadows on my autofocus point so I can see it no matter what. That's my number one thing I want is drop shadows on my autofocus points.
It's such a small point, but really important.
I shoot a lot of demons and bloody zombies, and when my autofocus points are red, I have no idea where they are half the time. No. So I deal with it all the time. But yeah, I think it's just really, really reassuring to see the future of a brand and the philosophy of a whole, and you're looking at the system as a whole based on what they've already done, right? So early generations are early generations, and they are what they are sometimes. And I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm in that camp. I invested in the Gen 2 bodies. But I just think it's very exciting to see what they've done when they can throw everything they got at something and still support it and still go forward and still elevate it without cost to consumer.
Yeah.
Big deal, especially as a pro.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the cameras are becoming smarter than me. And you know, when you buy a camera and you thought, oh, I'm going to use single focusing point for the rest of my life. And the cameras are becoming so complicated now that you can still use it for single shot, single focusing point, focus recompose, old fashioned way. But then you got so many settings that you may need to learn when you're starting with the equipment. But once you know it, it gives you so much versatility as well as flexibility in the way you can set it up, which is becoming amazing. And people upgrading to firmware version 4 really need to spend time with the auto capture to set it up the way they want it. But it just, the opportunities are quite infinite in a way.
Yeah. They are.
I mean, I have to work with all the brands working on the Adorama channel, right? and all else fails, no matter what that camera tells me it can do, strip it down to manual, throw it on single point, I can do my job, right?
Yeah.
And everything else is just icing on the cake for situations you might be in. You know, I don't always keep it on all auto area or eye tracking, because a lot of times when I'm shooting commercially, I have to shoot just their necklace, just what's in their pocket, just what's on their hands. And even if they're facing the frame, I don't want the camera going, oh, you want that person? Like, stop, shut up, yeah. Get out of my way. You know, so.
Yeah, totally.
And the fact that I can have a camera that can be in single point autofocus, and then I just squeeze a function button and it goes to recall, where I have it set to look for faces on the fly, on and off in milliseconds, I'm grabbing faces up. The camera lets me be the photographer I want to be with the tool that's in my hand, and it lets it be the camera I need it to be. But this is also a catch 22, because if someone on my team grabs my camera, they can't use the camera. They have no idea what I set to what. They have no, and that's where we're at. We can't just hand off cameras anymore. I just strip things down to manual, and I'm like, all right, I can go do something now. But that's what I think people need to understand. Everything's icing on the cake beyond the quality that we're getting out of the camera.
Yeah. That's been a problem for me for a while. I have not been able to hand my camera to someone for years because I've used back button focus.
We can't use each other's cameras because they set up differently.
No, not even that. Like, if I try and give my camera to my husband, I have not one single in focus picture of myself taken on my camera because my husband doesn't know what back button focus is. I'm like, just push the back and then just push the shot. It's not that hard.
Yeah, well, I'm the only guy here that doesn't use back button focus. I am, if I did a video on how I set up my Z9, I would get hate from every guy. I literally use that autofocus back button as a focus lock, because what I do is I keep it in single point AFC, and then it acts like AFS when I squeeze that back button. So right. I can still focus recompose, but I still have AFC whenever I need it without using my thumb.
Sure.
And then if I need it to grab eyes, I squeeze function two. So those three things alone just let me, without even dropping the camera or even thinking for more than 13.7 milliseconds,
yeah,
make it the way I want it to be.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the reviewers don't do that, right? A lot of the reviewers don't really make a camera work the way they work, and they'll give their review on it based on, it didn't read my thoughts, it's garbage. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's not a psychic camera, therefore it's no good.
No, it's crazy. I just think we're in a really lucky time, but we're in a very customizable, selfish time. So you can't really go by someone else's insights. And if I can say anything to your audience, like, get the stuff in your hands and really understand what it can do for you based on the way you work. And if it can't get you there, right, if the function custom buttons don't work that way, if it doesn't think the way, that's when you start making decisions like that. But
yeah,
really, you can't go by someone else's interpretation of something unless no one's shooting bleeding zombies, like, you know, so
no. You can't look for that on Google specifically when looking for a review. Nah. It's good advice.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us today, Seth. Really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to chat with you when we can.
We'll hopefully catch up with you in a few weeks, maybe.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys having me on. And it's an honor to be like brought into other channels. So I appreciate it. And I want to tell all you people, like, stick with this community, hit like, give them some support. It's free. It's milliseconds of your time. Just hit the like button. If you're in that chat, don't be one of those guys.
Excellent.
Thank you. And we are back from conversation with Seth. He's a really nice chap.
He is. And that leads us perfectly into the Z9 firmware update. So as a lot of you will have spotted last week, the firmware came out after we'd already recorded the podcast, which meant that we were a little bit behind the times and we didn't know what was going to be in this firmware update. But I can tell you it was not what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah, because we've actually recorded a whole section where we said what is going to be there, predicting. And there was all the things that Z8 had and Z9 didn't. And it was all pretty much wrong. So now we have a firmware which doesn't include all those Z8 bits, but includes completely different things that even Z8 doesn't have. So what does it have, Mick?
So let's run through it quickly. For both stills and video work, we have auto capture function, which means that the camera can be set to automatically take pictures if in motion distance or subject detection criteria are met. This kind of pre-capture functionality is very exciting for some people, particularly wildlife and action photographers, I would say.
So the auto capture thing makes your camera very, very smart. So it's effectively a focus trap. You can set it up in all sorts of different ways. And there's a couple of good videos that you can look into that will help you to set up the auto capture for you. It's one of the things that's a completely new thing. So a lot of people may need to just kind of test it and practice a little bit to set it up to understand how it works. Now, the good news is we have Rich's video where he goes through that setup specifically, as well as Matt Irvin's video. So have a look at those first. And then my advice is really set up the camera, play with it before actually heading to some proper gig, you know, so at least you have it ready to go.
You mean don't just turn up without knowing what you're doing and give it a go?
Yeah, don't be me every now and then.
Sometimes.
Not always.
Really. Switch Eyes has now been added to button customization. That means that you can switch, rather than pressing the button, you can switch eyes using any kind of button customization. I don't know what the limitations are there, but that's handy. Focus distance information has been added to the display when using manual focus. This is really helpful because usually you have just like a picture of a flower and then infinity, and you have no idea what you're doing. So that's very useful. They've also increased 3D tracking accuracy. It has been improved. We have field reports saying that this makes a massive difference to autofocus from some of our very own staff here who are Z9 users. Now, low light focus has also been improved, and a number of other issues were fixed, as well as the support for power zoom lenses.
Yeah, so basically, if you have a camera on firmware version 1.0 and you upgrade to firmware version 4.0, your camera becomes so much better that we keep getting those improvements of autofocus, which is incredible. And the interesting thing is, again, it's we start to see the complaints of people from other brands saying, where my firmware? And it's interesting because it used to be Fuji who would support their cameras for years with a firmware update. And it seems like that Nikon adopted that particular attitude towards firmware update, where now Nikon Z9 is effectively a mothership of all firmwares. And then all the little tidbits do come from that firmware to other cameras.
Let's hope that that long continues.
Long may it rain.
All right, now a couple of other things. Still photographers get new bracketing increments. There is exposure delay mode.
There's exposure delay mode, the one that you were looking for in Nikon Z8 camera on our live stream last week. So that thing now came into Z9.
Ooh.
Z8, you are next.
Yes, he's hoping. So there's other size options for slot 2 images. There is a longer pre-release capture buffer timeout, and camera sounds now have new options.
Now, you can't put the meow sounds yet. So that's coming in firmware version 10, I believe. But let's be patient. You're getting a lot more stuff, a part of those funky sounds. Now, you got more options, obviously. That's just really good. And now, videographers actually getting some love as well.
That's right. Videographers get new lower ISO options for analog recording. There are changes to high-res zoom speeds and the ability to record frame rates like 120 frames per second to record at that value, but play back at 30 frames per second. There is a viewfinder display size, which now applies to videos as well.
And then we got some improvements in playback, as well as some networking, NX Field and NX Mobile Air support. There's some small changes there and bug fixes as well. So overall, quite a chunky firmware. Even Nikon says that it may take up to 6 minutes to update your firmware. So don't panic. Let it run its course. Once it's done, but don't switch off your camera prematurely.
Whatever you do. If you have any more questions on the firmware, you can definitely check out those videos by Rishi and Matt as well. Very useful resources there.
Yeah. So what do you think? I mean, this firmware, it's kind of its own release, isn't it?
I would say so. It makes the Z9 just a whole new camera, I would say. It's advances that you would normally see in maybe like an S iteration of a body, but put into an existing flagship camera. I just think that Nikon are doing so much for Z9 users, and I'm very, very happy that they are.
Yeah, I mean, with the Z8 release, and it's Z8 is a mini Z9, a lot of people thought, well, Z9 may be forgotten. And actually what happened was we've got those features that are not available in Z8, and hopefully they will come to Z8 at some point. Now, I can confirm that auto capture will definitely come to Z8. That's one of those things that they actually did mention on the launch videos. Mm. So that's definitely coming. And obviously, fingers crossed that the other editions will also come to the firmware updates as well. Now, there were some criticism based on effectively that from some photographers, and Tom Hogan wrote an article which is called Nikon's Firmware Updates Continue to Puzzle. And he basically says that, okay, well, we thought we're going to get Z8 improvements into Z9, and we got completely different things, mm-hmm. but we didn't get Z8 improvements.
No.
Why is that? Now, I personally think it's a minor concern, but the criticism is valid in a way that what probably wants for us to understand how those cameras compare to each other at the moment. So effectively, let's say if Z9, we have mini Z9 in the form of Z8, mm-hmm. then it's very difficult to look at the differences between the cameras, because now we got this firmware and now we say, okay, Z9 has auto capture, Z8 doesn't have one.
Yes.
So I personally think if you bring them all software-wise to about the same level, then it will be much easier to say that, okay, Z8 has smaller form factor, SD card, smaller battery, and then Z9 has everything else.
Sure, and at the moment, it's not that simple a differentiation. There's too many differences between them, really.
Yeah, too many variables.
Too many variables. And I think that Nikon will continue to keep that gap quite wide for the foreseeable future. At some point, we will see some of those things trickle down to the Z8, and we'll probably see some of the Z8 features move up to the Z9 as well. But obviously, as Tom said, he thinks that Nikon are kind of responding to Z9 user feedback rather than looking at the entire customer base and what the entire customer base is thinking.
Yeah, I think what we also see is we have different groups of developers on different firmwares.
For sure.
Because one of the criticisms that Tom also mentioned is, let's say, the voice memo. We have them on Z9, Z8, and Z6 Mark II, mm-hmm. but we don't have on Z7 Mark II.
Yes, weird.
Why not? And then Z8 and Z7 Mark II has skin softening. Why not Z6 Mark II and Z9? So little differences like this that should be easy to implement to other firmware updates are not done. And I hope that Nikon will just streamline those firmware in the future. Again, I personally think for the amount of stuff we're actually getting, which is groundbreaking and amazing to have, this is a kind of a minor criticism, and hopefully Nikon will address it with a future firmware release.
Here's hoping. Now for another release, Nikon also released the IPTC Preset Manager version 1.3.0, which added support for the Z8, changed the maximum length for the field in the presets, added support for some of the newer Mac operating systems as well. So if you need that, then go ahead and update it.
Now, let's talk about Z8 a little bit.
Again.
So we're now starting to get the reports that apparently Nikon Z8 sells really well across the world.
Mm.
And we are starting to get some stats from Japan. Now, European, UK, and American dealers don't publish this data. But in Japan, you got MAP cameras who publish their sales monthly. And we also have BCN rankings who also publish some sales from certain dealers. Again, not everyone in Japan, but certain dealers. And it seems that Nikon Z8, as well as other Nikon cameras, are just gaining popularity as well as the customer share among the other systems. Now, looking, let's say, on the chart of BCN ranking from 2020 to 2023, Nikon went from 2.5% to 12.9%. And now on the third place, superseded OM system. Now, I wouldn't call BCN ranking as a definitive data, but it's interesting to see that they are gaining the ground. And obviously, all you need to do is actually release the models that perform well,
yes,
and sell well, and the user will come and will buy it. We're now starting to see in the comments that people are switching from all sorts of brands, from Sony, Canons, Fujis all over the world, as well as just talking about that, yes, this is the camera we needed. We obviously have a gap in the mid-range. We need Gen 3 cameras, in my opinion, with all the benefits of Z8 and Z9 cameras, but at a lower price bracket. And they will come eventually. But even the releases of the flagship cameras like Z8 and Z9 pushed Nikon into increasing their share among other brands.
Good. If you release it, they will buy.
Is that what it is?
Field of dreams. Obviously, as dealers who only deal in Nikon, we can certainly testify to the fact that the Z8 is our most popular camera at the moment. I'd be interested to know what other dealers are finding, but my assumption is that when camera brands bring out new cameras, those tend to be the most popular. I don't know if the Z8 is outperforming other brands of camera in the UK and Europe, but it's nice to see that in Japan, the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, and the pudding being Z8.
Exactly.
Well, here you have it, folks. Tell us what you think about dominance of Nikon.
And pudding.
Which pudding do you like? Is that the chocolate one? Or a Christmas pudding.
Okay.
Moving on.
This is an interesting piece of news. Necom Peru is promoting natural intelligence rather than artificial intelligence.
So what do? They troll AI with actually real photographs of the real locations in the world.
So natural intelligence is a print and outdoor campaign that goes against artificial intelligence, presenting photos of natural places in our world that are stranger than fiction, shot by photographers using Nikon cameras. Photographers use keyword prompts from artificial intelligence websites, demonstrating that photography and nature are truly capable of surprising us beyond our imagination.
So I think it's a very smart and interesting way to troll AI, because you actually take a picture of the real world and it does look unreal to me, but those places exist.
Mm-hmm.
And all it says is, please don't give up on the real world. Take your camera out, just go take some pictures and maybe you'll stumble on things. So if you type in the prompt, corn eating sandwich, maybe you will find me eating a sandwich.
Maybe you will find a picture.
I do like my sandwiches.
You do.
You know, so overall, I think it's a very smart move. It's better than your generic camera campaign.
Yes, for sure. I think this one will make people think a little bit more about how also they use AI. I've seen more and more photographers using generative AI to fix up their pictures and things like that, which obviously, if you're working commercially and you're in a pinch, I would use it as a last resort option personally. I wouldn't use it as the, I need to save my career.
Well, why not? I love the pictures with six or seven fingers. You know, it's amazing.
I've seen a lot of creators doing that recently. And I like the fact that Nikon have gone, actually, we're going to support real photography with possibly outlandish prompts, but situations which can actually be photographed in real life without the use of artificial intelligence. So I think everything has its place, but it is a nice campaign for them to do.
Absolutely. I personally think that you do you, you stay true to yourself. If you want to jump on the latest brand, or you just ignore everything and create your own art. You do you, boo.
Now for some third-party news. So Venus Optics have announced two new Lauer Ranger compact cine zoom lenses for Nikon Z mount, which is exciting.
Yeah, when we say compact, they're still a chunky lenses, but they're senior lenses and you expect them to be quite large. Now, the good news is they are reasonably priced for senior lenses. They're priced between about $3,000 to $5,800.
Okay.
But senior lenses tend to go for tens of thousands of dollars, so this is a reasonable for Nikon. Now, they're obviously available for other mounts, but it's nice to have a Nikon Z mount in the mix.
Yeah, so we've got a 28-75 T2.9 and a 75-180 T2.9. Both those are full frame. If you are a cinematographer and you need cine zoom lenses, then definitely check those out.
All right, now moving to Yongyo. They released some firmware updates for their Z mount lenses. So we have firmware update for 85mm 1.8 autofocus, 51.8 and 35F2 lenses. So if you've got some of those, head on to their website and the link in the comments below and update your lenses as soon as.
That's right.
Fantastic. Well, let's move on to review section now. So we have a comparison, which me and Becky did, of a Nikon Z8 versus D850. So if you've got a D850 or you're looking at both cameras, then definitely watch this review, because we talked for about 20 minutes going through all the little aspects of both cameras and which one is right for you.
And we also have a review on Nikon rumors by RC Jenkins, who says, I shot the Z8, but I did not shoot the Deputy. And he starts with, I have no idea why I bought this camera. I didn't actually want it. What I really wanted was a Z6 III. He then goes into an actual feel of the camera, the menus, the performance of the viewfinder with a deep dive into the EVF blackout and Nikon's elegant solution for it and more, which is good.
Yeah, I mean, a part of the Bob Marley reference, I can say that it's probably the best Nikon Z8 review, because it's actually written by a human being who loves the cameras. Because if you go to like blogs, all you see is kind of a ChatGPT-minded writers of a tech blogs, which write about things they don't understand and they also don't go deep. Like, I really like Mr. Jenkins' deep dive into EVF blackout and how Nikon designed that solution. You don't really read that much. So if you do want to learn about that, then definitely have a look at this. And I can say that RC Jenkins is probably one of the best contributors on Nikon Rumors. So if you look at the comment sections, he normally puts out one of the most detailed and technical answers you can look into. So I just want to say thank you for all you do.
There you go. Now, this Friday, we have a very special live stream coming up with our lovely friend of the channel, Matt Irwin. We're going to be talking about the new lenses and lots of other things as well. So definitely join us at 2:15 British Standard Time for that one.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us this week.
Yes, thank you very much for watching or listening. Please give us a like and a subscribe if you're on YouTube. We'd hugely appreciate it. And if you're listening on a podcast platform, then a follow, a rating, and even a review would not go amiss.
Absolutely. Be available on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, as well as Spotify's of the world. So if the talky heads is not your thing, then you can listen without seeing those heads. Now, we are on the race to hit that 20,000 subscribers mark, and we just hit 19,500 subscribers. So if you haven't subscribed yet, then definitely click that button, because it helps us to help everyone else with all this knowledge and information on everything Nikon.
That's right. If you'd like to find us on socials, we're on Instagram, and we post stuff sometimes. I'm at Rebecca_Danese. The shop is at Nikon at Grace.
And I'm at Konstantin Kochkin. We do publish photographs with the lenses we review for this channel. So do have a look at those samples over there. And on that note, we will see you on Friday together with Matt Irwin. Then we will see you on Sunday with another stonking video. And then next week with another Nikon report. And then a year later, it will continue with the same.
Every week, folks. We're here every week.
Don't worry. We won't leave you. We'll come to your house and hold your hand.
We won't.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.